All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. They appreciate it. My name is Tom. July the 23rd, 2021, Friday. Just feels amazing outside this morning. Got up, sat outside with the wife. Low humidity. We've been where we live, man. I'm sure it's hot everywhere. Listen, we're nothing unique here, but it's hot. It's been hot and humid, and we're super grateful that we even have a house, right? I'm not going to start complaining about my house, but it's not the most efficient piece of equipment on the street. And when it gets hot, it gets hot, and that house struggles. And that air conditioner in there, I put a brand new air conditioner in 5 years ago. Cost me like $10,000. I mean, that's a new air conditioner, and it struggles. The house struggles. I think it's just efficiency and keeping the cold in and the hot out in the house. It's not built like on 2x6s. It's probably built on 1x4s. It is a kind of a piece of junk, but we love it. It's raised a lot of kids, and we're super happy and grateful to have it, but it struggles. And we bought a window unit, for the house, because that's with the perfectly good air conditioner that runs just fine. It just can't cool the house down. So I bought this little window unit, little window unit that could. And, it's probably been 4 weeks. It's probably been more than that, but it just feels like definitely the last 3 weeks, it's really been hot. And so we bought the little window unit to try to just compensate and try to help it out. And I won't say the temperature broke yesterday, but it's definitely cool this morning. It's like 81 or something. And it was cool yesterday. I got up in the middle of the night, and I swear to God, it must have been snowing in my house. I mean, the air conditioner was in its full-on glory, and that wasn't even the little unit. That was just the big unit. But it finally, July 22nd, 2021, that little air conditioner caught up. And oh my God, it was freezing. And I actually turned the air conditioner up, to turn it off. And I think I heard it say, thank you. There was a point in the beginning of the summer, I go, this little machine could literally run from here until September. I mean, it's just been that hot. But it worked. We got through it. This morning is epic. It's beautiful out. I told my kids, why don't you go for a run? Like they want to do that. Let's get outside and go for a run. Rolled their eyes. My one son, my older son, he just feels, he's so sensitive. I guess he takes after me. All the kids are sensitive. I think everybody's sensitive, right? But my oldest son, David, he gets very, if I said, why don't you go for a run? He feels like it's slightly passive aggressive. So he'll do it because he just feels guilty. And then he'll ask me later if I was upset at him. And I'm like, no, I'm just saying, why don't you go for a run? Why don't you do something? So I don't know if I'm coming across that way or if he's just sensitive, because it definitely takes two to fucking get crazy, right? And, so I told him this morning, why don't you guys go for a run? And I could tell he's like, I go, I'm just saying, why don't you take your brother out and go for like a little run? Just get out. If it was just cooler outside, we'd be doing more, and it is now, and we still don't. So, but I don't want to be passive aggressive to my kids. I wasn't trying to be, but as a father of 52, it is interesting being a father. I mean, I had, oh my God. Like last night, my son, he tells me he's going to, my buddy's picking me up. And so granted, he's 15. He's going to be 16 next month. But he's like, yeah, my buddy's picking me up. We're going down to Lewis, and we're going to shoot some film and stuff for this project they're working on. And they're going to do this and that, and he'll be home later. I was like, okay, sounds good. His buddy, and I'm going to keep everybody anonymous, but his buddy just got his license, right? So he's got to be 16 and something months. And, they'll drive each, he'll ride around in the car with his buddy. My son will ride around in the car with his buddy. I don't know exactly the rule. even though I had to watch the video about these kids getting their driver's license, I'm not exactly sure on the rules. So, you know, I'm like, he calls me, he goes, listen, we're going to film a little more stuff, and then we're going to go over here, and we're going over there, and then so-and-so is going to drop me off. And I'm like, okay, like 10. And then I hang up the phone. My wife's like, he's awfully young, you know, the voice of reason, the voice of reason in my life, my wife. He's, you know, he's really awfully young. And I don't know what the rule is, but I'm not sure that they're all supposed to be riding around in a car together. She's right. She is right. So I call him back. I go, listen, I'm going to come pick you up. I don't want you riding in the car. And this, you know, this is like the fourth time. It's happened like the last few weeks. You know, they'll go out. We're going to go out. So-and-so's going to drive us home. I'm like, is that okay? And he goes, yeah, it's legal. I go, all right. And then he'll call me and go, yeah, so-and-so's parents are picking us up. Like something, like the other parents found out and shut that whole nonsense down. And I just feel like this dumb guy. You know, I'm getting played. And it's happened a few times. They went and saw a band down in Ocean View. So-and-so was going to drive. Then at 9:30, yeah, we're waiting for so-and-so's parents to come pick us up. So I tell him, I said, I'm coming to get you, right? I'm going to come pick you up. Okay. So I come pick him up. They're doing great, right? It's not like they're out drinking beers or anything. They're probably actually doing what they said they're doing. And I said, I need to know the rule because I feel like a total tool bag. And he's like, well, the rule is that you no more than three people in the car and you have to be in by 10. We're out off the road by 10. And I go, well, I mean, it sounds sort of okay. And he goes, well, I mean, and he goes, well, that's just the rule that we go by. And so I go, I don't even know if that's even the rule. Do I need to figure out what that rule is? Because, you know, I get caught up in trying to be like the cool dad. And I don't even being a cool dad, but just, you know, I guess the cool dad. So I'm like letting him do his thing. And I will say the pandemic and you know, all that we've gone through is, at least for my older son, is really, I mean, he started working at 14. This is his second year working. He's putting a lot of money in his pocket. He's, you know, he bought an e-bike. He's out with his friends. He's living the beach life, right? He's hanging out with his friends down at the beach. And I'm like, listen, until I have a reason, I'm okay with it. I mean, he's home by 9, 10 or something like that. He is going to be 16. I feel like he's a little farther along as far as maturity than I was. But I don't know. It's just it's tough. Anybody out there that's raising kids, you know, in your 50s and stuff, and, you know, it's a tough challenge. The other thing is that, you know, so I finally pick him up, and I have nothing. We have nothing to talk about. Everything I ask him, his answers, I feel like an idiot. Everything I ask him, I feel like an idiot. So it's just this weird, he's like, how's your day? And I go, oh, and I'm going to my day, and I'm explaining everything. And he's just, I can feel like his eyes are just rolling in the back of his head. And I don't know how anybody out there goes through this, but every time I have a conversation with my 15-year-old, when it's done, I feel like a total idiot. Like I completely have lost touch, you know. And I remember when I was a kid, my dad would make such an effort to kind of stay involved in our lives in the best he could. And I totally can relate, you know. He used to drive me to school. And, you know, I put my dad and mom through fucking hell. It feels like it. I don't know if I'm just piling all this shit on my shoulders and, you know, being a victim of it. But I felt like, and I still feel like I really put my parents to the ringer. And but I remember as a kid, my dad would drive me to middle school. And he would play, you know, it was always like, you know, we had this old 76 Blazer and he put a new stereo in it and new speakers because I'm like, Dad, we need some stereo and speakers in so we can play our music. And my dad's like, yeah, okay, yeah. And he would just, you know, we would say something and he would jump through a hoop to try to make it happen. So he rebuilt this Blazer, put in these big speakers, put in a new stereo system, and we would play my music on my way to school. And he would, poor guy. I mean, it wasn't the worst music, but I remember his, you know, he loved Van Halen, right? According to him, I love Van Halen because I loved Van Halen. I was a huge Eddie Van Halen fan, and my dad would like Van Halen. And, but now looking back at it, he was liking Van Halen so that he could stay in, you know, connected, because I do the same thing. I'm trying to you know, I'm listening to music that I would not really listen to. The music that my kids dig is not in my wheelhouse. It is a, I'm not, it's good music. I mean, it's put together well, it's performed well, but it's just not my favorite. I don't hate it, but, you know, I'm an 80s metal guy. I like, you know, I grew up on glam rock and Metallica, and, you know, now I'm pretty much stuck in the Pearl Jam. And so I'm, but I try. I'm listening, you know, and we're talking about it. And I go, eh. I go, I just don't like any of this. I go, none of this music is good. I mean, it's good, but it's just not good to me. And he goes, well, you should say you just don't have a connection with it. You shouldn't say it's not good. You should just say you don't have a connection. I'm like, right, I don't have a connection. He goes, there's a difference. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm just, you know, he's just making me feel worse and worse. And I, it's weird. Because me and my son, my older, he was my boy. And he still is. And we have a great relationship. But, you know, as a dad, I just want to be, you know, I don't know what I want. I just want to, you know, first of all, I just want to be in his life, right? Because it's easy for me, you know, when he gets in one of these kind of things where he's doing his thing and I'm just an old dad and he's just a young guy, I feel like I could easily push away and say, you know, fine, do what you want to do. And, you know, that's where we get into trouble. So I want to stay connected. I want to keep my finger on him, but it's a balancing act. And sometimes the more I push, the cooler I look that I'm trying to be, and I'm not. And it's weird. Is anybody else dealing with that kind of shit with their kids? I mean, they're all good kids, but I don't know. But what it reminds me of and what I was going to talk about is just this relationship, you know, with my father. I've talked about it before. I talked about the relationship with my mother, being adopted, passing of my mother. And, you know, the last couple weeks with my dad, my dad's 84, and the last couple weeks have just been a little bit, you know, all of a sudden his health is starting to become an issue. His age is starting to become an issue. The fact that he, you know, he lives alone is starting to become an issue. And not to him, right? He's like, great. But, you know, my wife and I, we had to take him to the hospital last week. She did. And then I had to take him back to the ER on Friday. And by the way, if you're taking care of your parents and they have an issue, take them to the ER. Don't fucking take them to their doctor. Fuck that. Fuck the medical system. Don't tell anybody I said that. But it's bullshit. I watched my mom grind through that nonsense. I said, from now on, you go to the ER. You know, my mom had that rheumatoid arthritis, arthritis. And she went to 5 doctors, and they all fucking twiddled their thumbs wondering what the fuck she had. And then by the time she was already blind in both eyes, we took her to the ER, and they're like, oh, yeah, she has, you know, arthritis. Arthritis, which attacks the arteries. They figured it out right away. If they had figured it out right away prior to that, we probably could have got her on some prednisone that would have helped her eyes, and maybe she wouldn't have gone blind, which maybe she wouldn't have had to go into a home, which maybe she wouldn't have blah, blah, blah. You know, it is what it is. But from now on, I said to my dad, you go to the ER. They got everything right there. They'll figure it out. And, you know, but I'm having to deal with that. And you know, for me, what I like to say is I'm getting to deal with it. You know, I have talked about my past as growing up, you know, the hell that I put my parents through. And I love to paint the picture of hell. Maybe it wasn't so bad. It's got to have been annoying. You know, I always say I never stole from my parents except for their peace of mind, their serenity. But, you know, I was just such a bad kid. And I was talking to my dad 2 days ago because he's now, you know, he's at home and he's kind of like just laying low and he's not getting out. And I'm having to go get him dinner and check his mail, and which is fine. I get to, you know. But there was a time a while back where my father and I, we still did not get along. And he was probably 10 years younger. He's a little more piss and vinegar. And him and I would just butt heads. I don't know. And there was a, you know, and I talked about it when, you know, one day I said, listen, You know, I don't want to fight anymore. This is it. This is the end, you know. This is the end. My only friend. Yeah. This is it. This is the end of it, you know. And I'd prefer if we could end it on a high note. You know, my mom was alive. I told my wife, I said, we're going to go over to my parents every Sunday. We're going to cook them breakfast. And we're going to hang out with them. We're going to spend time with them, you know. Because how often do we just get so busy? And it is easy. I am very busy. We get so busy that we are not available for other people. And then all of a sudden they die and you're like, damn. If I'd have just, I wish I would have. And so I said, I'm making an effort. You know, let's, every Sunday we went to my parents' house, cooked my mom and dad breakfast, pancakes, eggs, whatever they wanted. Took the kids, you know, and spent that, you know, that last couple years, and then COVID hit, and then my mom went blind. Well, my mom went blind, and then COVID hit, and then she was in a home, and we lost her. But, you know, that moment, I said, hey, let's stop. I want to take the high road. You know, there's a, and we were talking, I was talking about the fifth step, fourth and fifth step, but, you know, there's a step called step 10. And I remember when I got sober and working a program, and I remember coming to this step, and it says, step 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Wow. I mean, how many people don't apologize? How many people have situations out there where they could easily apologize, clean it up, and they'd be done with it? But they choose not to because of ego and pride. How many people out there have relationships that are falling apart and they could easily say, listen, I'm sorry. Whoever was wrong here, I'm just going to take the high road and apologize, and let's see if we can clean this up and move on. And that's what happened with my dad. I said, listen, I've made mistakes. I'm sorry. I want to be better. You know, there's not a lot of people lined up here to help you. It's just me and my brother. And my brother didn't even live here. So, you know, I want to get over it. I want to move past it. And so we had an agreement. And since then, we've had a couple little fluff-ups, but for the most part, we've been great. And now, you know, he's like appreciative. You know, I had to take him to the ER, and it's just been, you know, it's been great. I can't imagine, you know, carrying all that bullshit around. I know a friend of mine got in a big fight with his father. In fact, they got arrested. They got in such a big freaking fight. And then his dad died. I'm like, wow, that is no way to go out. I don't know. I'm just having, and then my dad, you know, and he's starting to chill, right? You know, he's like just mellowing out, and he's becoming this kind of this cute old man, my dad. And I'm just so blessed right now that I can take care of him and be there for him. It's awesome.
All day permanent red, the glaze on my eyes. When I heard your voice, the distance caught me by surprise again. And I know you claim that you're right, but fix your eyes on me. I guess I'm all you have, and I swear you'll see the dawn. Become blind, 'cause even when there is no star in sight, you'll always be my only guiding light. Now is
Great song. Mumford and Sons. I guess the point of this podcast is I'm just really grateful. I'm having a lot of fun, you know, being there for my dad. He's a pain in the ass and it's total inconvenience. But, you know, I've surrendered. And that's what it's all for me is about today. It's about the serenity, you know, the peace of mind. You know, I'm tormented with knowing I have to do things, right? And then once you do it, you're like, that wasn't a big deal. You know, the thing I had to do the other day, which was a total fucking pain in the ass, which he's like, hey, you mind picking me up a Chick-fil-A sandwich? Stopping by? Getting the, hold on. My daughter just got picked up. Had to say goodbye. Last week, man, he's like, can you pick me up a Chick-fil-A sandwich and then stop by the house and then come pick up my key and go check out the mail? And because he hasn't been feeling well, so he's at home. And I'm like, Yeah, of course, Dad, right, sure, yep. This little journey, you know, it's like every opposite thing I would ever want to do. You know, I'm riding in the north, going in southbound traffic, I got to cross over to go to Chick-fil-A, I got to cross back over to get to his development. It's just this, you know, if you're in this area, you're like, oh, my God, that's like the trifecta of no-dos, like into Kings Creek, driving into Rehoboth on a Friday in the afternoon. It's like all the things that, you know, that I would not want to do. And he asked me to do it. And I was like, yeah, sure, of course, Dad. And you know what's funny is that I left the house. I went to Chick-fil-A. There was nobody at Chick-fil-A. Got right through, grabbed a sandwich and iced lemonade, drove over to his house, got right into his development, jumped down, went to right into Rehoboth, found a parking spot, got his mail. The two things that he needed were invoices being paid by a couple people. He needed these checks. He's like, you know, I mean, it took me no time. It was the easiest thing I'd done all day, really. And I had made such a big deal out of it in my head. I do that. You know, I do that. I do not, as much as I talk about it, as much as I warn people about it, as much as I warn myself, I do it. And I pay the price. I project. You know, I projected that I'd be stuck in traffic. It would take forever. Like I have anything else to do. Right? Just another thing to work on. I'm just grateful I get to be there for my father. You know, it's a shame that we lost my mom. My dad always used to say, you know, you're going to have to be here to take care of your mother because I'll be dead. Well, that's not the case. She's gone. He's here. And, you know, I'm just blessed because, honestly, I was such an asshole. I could have really fucked it. I could be dead. You know, I could have, you know, fucked it up so bad that I wasn't here to help my dad. You know, I think as a 52-year-old guy headed towards the second half of life, you know, you don't want to die alone, right? You don't want to die in a box, you know, under a overpass. You want to have family. You want to have not burned so many of your bridges that you have nobody left, you know? And somehow I'm here, and, you know, I'm just really grateful that I can be here for my dad. It's awesome. Let's do a reading. Let's do a reading, and then we'll get out of here. Get out of here. Hope everyone's having a great day. It's pretty cool. All right, here we go. July the 23rd. I ask God to decide. July 23rd. I pray that you now remove me every single... Take two. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. I'm going to read it one more time. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. I guess that's a prayer, which is interesting because I was always told, I shouldn't say that. I was told never to ask for anything from God. You know, that's my life with my relationship with God. I ask for nothing. I only just expose, you know, my stress, my anxiety. I'm not it. He is, da-di-da-di-da. But to ask, I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. All right. That's Alcoholics Anonymous, page 76. Having admitted my powerlessness and made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him, I don't decide which defects get removed or the order in which the defects get removed or the time frame in which they get removed. I ask God to decide which defect stands in the way of my usefulness to him and to others, and then I humbly ask him to remove them. Yeah, I guess you can ask for that. I guess you can ask for God to remove your character defects, but, you know, I like that. You know, I love the program of AA. I love the 12 steps. I'm sorry. You know, I feel bad for people that didn't drink, right? I feel bad for people that weren't forced to make that decision, that weren't forced to have to address something through a program, a humility, humble-based program, really. You know, because, you know, this is it, you know. It's like me talking about, you know, the first five steps and then talk about the 10th step. You know, it's not, you have to go through, you have to get to the point where you want to take the high road in the first place. You have to get to the point where you want to be humble. You have to get to the point where you recognize that I am consumed with self. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. You have to surrender. And once you get to, I have to surrender. Once I get to that point that I'm open to the ideas, then I can start willingly letting my character defects be removed from me. Until then, it's very tough. All right, whatever. I hope everyone has a great day. I'll catch up with you later. Bye.
Broken, unworthy and ashamed. Give us something to believe in, and you know it'll go your way.